to engineering. What's this? Take that to the bridge. It's the new captain's chair. That's not how you install that. Hold on, I'll come over and show you.
Everything going okay with all this new equipment, Nova?
The equipment's fine, but some of these nitwits could use some common sense. I gotta say, Zach, when I complained that we needed a refit, I kinda thought we would have a space dock team installing it, not me.
Well, the space dock installation team was an extra 15,000 credits. We didn't have it. Just be happy we're finally getting some new stuff we need.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm ecstatic. Just overseeing this might just kill me.
Well, the good news is that you get to take a 2-hour break now. We have a show starting in a moment.
2 hours? Wow, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. Alright, Beelzebub, you're in charge while I'm on the bridge.
Bridge to engineering. Kenny, Zach, and Nova, report to the bridge, please.
We're on our way. Cue to the intro music, and we'll be there in a moment. You're listening to Hailing Frequency, the internet's first podcast dedicated to Star Trek gaming. This is episode number 70, dated Sunday, September the 6th, 2009. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 70 of Hailing Frequency, the internet's largest podcast dedicated to Star Trek gaming. We have a full crew on board today, starting with our graphical genius and Star Trek Online gadfly, Kineas. How's it, Kin?
Howdy, folks. Good Sunday morning. Boy, a lot of great stuff this weekend, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, we also have our chief engineer and technical director, Nova. What's up, man?
Hey, everybody. Sorry for the short delay. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be a Hailing Frequency podcast if we didn't have some sort of technical issue. And like I said earlier, some of these nitwits just really do need some common sense down in the engineering department.
Well, we're getting better. Last week it was a 35-minute delay. This week it's only about 20 minutes. So down we go. Also returning to the Devilfish this week and joining us on Tactical and Operations this week, we have Athos. Welcome back, Athos.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Everybody. Boy, when the floodgates open on the information wall on Stowe, they really open, don't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's been an absolutely phenomenal 2 weeks for Star Trek gaming folks, and we just have so much to talk about today. But before we do that, let's cover how you can contact us on this week's show.
Well, your first option, folks, is to join me, Kineas, in the official Star Trek Online chat room at stowchat.hailingfrequency.com. I'll be there throughout the show's recording session monitoring people's comments and opinions.
If the Star Trek Online chat room is a little bit too crowded for you, head to the Hailing Frequency site at hailingfrequency.com and launch the Hailing Frequency chat room. Please note that you need to be logged in to use that. I will be there through the show, along with Zach, monitoring all your comments in there.
Or finally, you can add hailing.frequency to Skype, email Zach, that's Zach with an H, at hailingfrequency.com, or if you are in the States, leave a message on the Hailing Frequency voicemail at 206-337-8515. Again, that's area code 206-337-8515.
Indeed, thank you very much, guys. So, just what exactly do we have coming up on this week's show for you? Well, all hands to PAX stations. We have a ton of new Star Trek Online information, including new gameplay footage and Hailing Frequency's second interview with Star Trek Online's executive producer, Craig Zinkovich.
That wasn't enough. We have the second edition of Fleet Focus and Chiron's Corner.
Plus, we talk about the new STO screenshots, the upcoming beta period, and much, much more.
And let's not forget the Star Trek gaming news with Case One Indra.
Indeed, indeed. So, it's a very, very busy show this week, so let's jump right to it. Case One Indra, it's over to you.
Just... Good day, Star Trek gamers. This is Case One Indra, and welcome to the Star Trek gaming news for episode 70 of Hailing Frequency, covering the period from Saturday, August 22nd until Friday, September 4th, 2009. Beginning this week with Star Trek Bridge Commander, the first version of the Aftermath mod has been released for Bridge Commander. In the release post, they said, instead of porting Legacy Aftermath directly into Bridge Commander, the BC version of Aftermath will have its own identity that differs to its Legacy counterpart. The same level of detail and work ethic that is displayed will be consistent in the BC version of Aftermath. Aftermath has always maintained fun and engaging gameplay with dark undertones, and this style of gameplay will be transferred over to Bridge Commander. How exactly the transition goes is all under wraps, but we have an extensive future planned out for BC Aftermath. This pack contains ships for the Federation, Klingons, and the Romulans. The ships have been balanced to each other to get the best gameplay experience. Over the next few weeks and months, we will be adding on to the release with smaller mod packs, which will eventually come together to create a completed Aftermath for Bridge Commander. For more information on this mod, head over to theaftermathmod.star-trek-games.com, and you can also download it at downloads.hailingfrequency.com. Moving on, and fans of the Galaxy Class rejoice! The Galaxy Class mod pack version 2.1 for Bridge Commander has been released. The pack contains a total of 11 different versions of the Galaxy Class, ranging from the Enterprise to the USS Yamato, as well as several other versions. Download this pack at bcfiles.com or at downloads.hailingfrequency.com. Moving on to Star Trek Legacy, and we have an update for the Legacy version of Aftermath as well. In a massive post, the mod's creators told us the following. Aftermath is making a drastic shift away from canon. Whereas many mods stick to canon, Aftermath will no longer be going down that path. In its place will be a heavily stylized combat engine that further stands out Aftermath from all other Legacy modding offerings. Combat would be best described as hectic, knife-edged, warlike combat engine. Aftermath is being prepped for war. The entire artillery engine, that's your phasers, disruptors, and torpedoes, is coming in for a massive overhaul for a new artillery system. The new system will see various weaponry on display to add new dimensions to the combat engine. Also, physics will be applied to the artillery. The combat engine is not the only aspect that is being changed. The graphics engine has already been overhauled. Currently in its 8th build, the new graphics engine sees a new lighting engine, new performance benchmarks, the first for Legacy, revised entry-level requirements, enhanced shadow engine, and much more. All these changes come together seamlessly and freeing up system resources to improve the performance capabilities of Legacy Engine. Again, Aftermath is not going for a canon look or feel. It's going for its own identity. Environments will also see a massive change too. All previous maps in Deathmatch will be removed. That means all maps made right up until the last add-on pack will not be featured in the new Aftermath release. All stock co-op waves and deathmatch maps will be removed too. Aftermath will get its own unique map set for its next release. The Aftermath image will be consistent right through every aspect of the game. However, all the old maps will not be lost in oblivion. They will be made available in separate booster packs and be made available separately throughout 2009. Ships are also being changed. Every ship will have its textures changed to suit a much darker image. In a way, you could say Aftermath is an alternative reality to the normal canon way of ST, in the same fashion as the Mirror Universe. All races are getting a visual makeover to a more warlike persona. Klingons, Romulans, and more will all have a warlike look to their ships. Plus, you will also see some new ships and races. More changes that are happening is the new AI engine, which has been touched upon in the 3.0 announcement. Also, a new interface is being designed for the new image. The new interface will be shown at a later date. There are also new and unique features that will appear in Aftermath. These new features will not be seen outside of Aftermath. What these features are will be revealed at a much later date. There are some big surprises coming. For more information on Aftermath, both for Bridge Commander and Legacy, head over to theaftermathmod.star-trek-games.com. In some Hailing Frequency news now, Hailing Frequency, in association with Tamgross and V-Man of All Out Assault Gaming Group, attended the recent PAX convention held in downtown Seattle. Kineas was able to schedule the duo for a 25-minute video interview with Cryptic Studios about Star Trek Online, and they got to play it for the first time as well. And a special thanks goes out to Trisha, Deborah, and Ariel from Cryptic for making all of this happen. You girls rock it! Check out our interview as well as our coverage of the PAX convention at www.hailingfrequency.com/penny-arcade-2009. For live video coverage of everything going on at the PAX, including STO coverage, head on over to ufrag.com. And that's U, the letter U, frag.com. And tell everybody about it. On a final note, Hailing Frequency is currently conducting a listener survey to gain some information about our audience to find out your likes and your dislikes. This survey is completely anonymous and takes more than 10 minutes to complete. You can take the survey over at survey.hailingfrequency.com. And on a personal note, any more complaints about mispronunciations, you're going to wake up with tribbles in your shorts. That concludes all the Star Trek gaming news for this part of the show. If you have any Star Trek gaming news that you would like included in our next show, send it over to Zach@hailingfrequency.com for inclusion. I will return later on in the show with all of the Star Trek Online related news from the past couple of weeks. And in the meantime, I turn you back over to Zach, Kineas, and Nova.
Sir, incoming transmission.
On screen, Commander.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and prepare to be assimilated. Your technical and biological distinctiveness will be added to our own.
Like hell I will. Open a channel to the fleet.
Channel open, sir.
This is Admiral Nova to all hands and all ships. I'm ordering a fleet-wide red alert. All hands, battle stations.
Ensign, deploy ablative armor. Raise the shields and bring the weapon systems online.
Prepare the Alsi for multi-vector assault mode on my command.
Bring pulse phasers online. Let's kick some Borg aft.
The fleet has acknowledged, sir. They are standing by.
Fire.
Can the crew of Lotus Fleet fend off the deadly force known as the Borg? Find out at lotusfleet.com.
Okay, folks, and we are back from the Star Trek Gaming News. First of all, thank you very much, K2 Indra, for doing that Star Trek Gaming News. Just a little correction. It will, in fact, take less than 10 minutes to do the Hailing Frequency audience survey. There's a little bit of a mistake there by K2 Indra, but everybody's entitled to a couple. Second thing, I have a shout-out here from Neen0901, who would like us to shout-out to all members of Delta Wolf Fleet. So, guys, let's give a shout-out to Delta Wolf Fleet.
What's up?
Hey, Delta Wolf Fleet.
Hey. Okay, then. So, as we were saying before the news, it has been a huge couple of weeks on the Star Trek Online front, and we have got so much to talk about here. New screenshots, new video, the first ever public play test of Star Trek Online. I mean, it's just been non-stop. So first things first, we're going to do this in order of, you know, the way things were coming out. And the first thing to really hit us was six new in-game screenshots that were released on GameSpot.com, showing us a variety of different scenarios from Star Trek Online. So we're just going to discuss a couple of the screenshots here and our thoughts on them. So the first one that I would really like to discuss, and it's potentially, in my opinion, the best of all of those screenshots. You've got a dead Borg on the carpet. You have a Starfleet officer there standing in front of a window, and just dead ships outside, like some sort of starship graveyard. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. So Athos, you are the one with the fine eye. Tell us what you think about that screenshot and what you have observed about it.
Okay, and of course, if you don't know what screenshots we're referring to, you can always go to the Hailing Frequency gallery and look them up. They're going to be the six most recent ones, and you should be able to find it there. This kind of really cool and graphical scene. First hint at seeing potentially dead ships in the game, right? So it kind of looks like either this starship maybe tried to assault or was assaulted by the Borg. Interior-wise, I don't know where all the pink lighting is coming from, but you kind of see the Borg-type installation equipment all over on the right. You have the dead Borg drone on the carpet. You got the Starfleet officer looking out the window, but if you look out the window, there's actually a floating Borg drone as well outside in space. So possibly this Borg, you know, beamed aboard the ship and there was a hull breach and it came out. That ship definitely looks kind of dead. But this is a good opportunity to see what kind of damage we're going to see on our ships, right? So it looks fairly well done. The really big hull breach kind of on the secondary hull before you get to the warp nacelle pylons. You can kind of tell it's burned around the edges, kind of boxy, but it's not very textured, I guess, in my mind. It's not, you don't see the depth. Like, if there was a torpedo that hit the hull, you would expect some depth, right, into the explosion. But, anyway, it looks nice, and you certainly get the listing effect going on. So, on the interior of the station or whatever this is, you also see over to the left some, looks like standard paneling. So possibly this is a Federation starbase. It's kind of hard to tell, but on the right side you see the Borg stuff, on the left side you kind of see standard panels, interfaces. So I guess those are my thoughts on it.
Okay, just the one thing that I really wanted to point, just really wanted to focus on in this screenshot. I mean, just the amazing looking ship scaling there. I mean, you look at the size of that ship that's just floating, banked outside the window. I mean, it's just huge looking. Just the amount of quality and detail on the damage and the hull breaches. Just the scale and epicness of the whole thing is just, I mean, in my opinion, it's pretty damn awesome. Nova, what did you think of that shot?
I actually really like it. I really enjoy instances where you can kind of look out and view a very well-detailed landscape. And when I saw this, I have to admit, I got really excited to see that the perception in the size of the ships can be viewed from the inside outside. Now, whether or not we're viewing something that's just been pre-created, or if when you leave the starbase, you can actually fly past the window and see the very same aspect from another perspective, I would be very, very interested to see that. Ultimately, though, of course, the Borg laying down on the ground and everything else. The one aspect to all of this that I've started noticing through some of these actual images that show the inside of things is that everything seems really, really, really large. Like, there's an incredible amount of space not necessarily being used. And I don't know if these are instanced environments or if they're environments that a lot of people can be in all at one time, but I'm not entirely sure why these spaces are so incredibly large in themselves. I mean, it could be just the location, the type of building that it is, or what. So, you know, I'm kind of split halfway on that.
I think that particular screenshot is from a starbase. And my contention there would be that perhaps it looks empty at the moment because there are not many people in it. Starbases are going to be hubs, in the game. So therefore I would anticipate you will have instances of 100, 200, 300 players in that area. Maybe not in the case where obviously Borg have tried to assimilate that particular starbase, but. You know, I would think that even in those instances, things like that would be fleshed out with NPCs.
Well, we can certainly tell that whatever this was, this base was, we can see that the Borg have begun doing something. I mean, that certainly looks like Borg technology on the right-hand side of the window. Yeah. So, especially if you look down towards the bottom, you see their kind of Borg pattern of things. So, I don't know. Very interesting, though, and I love the fact that we can really see other starships outside of the window and their size and everything that is great about them. The damage to them...
What would really be cool is if this Starfleet officer came from that ship, like the ship came in to help the starbase, beamed over to be the assault team on the starbase, and the ship got crap kicked out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Just to move us on, because we have got so much to talk about today. The next screenshot that I would like to talk about, and is actually a screenshot that we have two screenshots from two different perspectives on it. It's ground, it's at night, and you've got a Starfleet team. It looks like two Vulcans and a Bolian on it, among others. And they're attacking, I guess, I can't really see what they're attacking. Maybe Borg? Yeah, it looks like they're fighting Borg there. And I'm a really big fan of the lighting on this one, the way that you're seeing the phasers glow, just the sky, just generally how this particular screenshots or these two screenshots, just how they look. I think it's very, very nice. And I think it's also one of the first times that we've seen, a Star Trek Online screenshot set at night. I'm a very big fan of those two screenshots. So I want to go to Caneas first. First of all, Caneas, any feedback on the previous screenshot? I think we forgot to ask you. And then any feedback on the current screenshots that we're talking about?
Yeah, One Soul 1982 says it's freaking awesome. Patton J007 says, awesome. I love the ship in the background just because it shows how big it is. Torrin says, the ship model is a bit squared, and Grinchulescu says nifty.
Okay, and what about the current shot of the?
Oh, one moment. I also have a comment from Captain Butters. I have an issue with some of the texturing on the ship, and yes, it does look a tad blocky. So thanks for those comments,
folks. I think a couple of folks have mentioned the texturing, and I think as Nova said, in some cases it looks a little bit Bridge Commander-esque. But I think that at the moment, until now, Cryptic have been focusing primarily on content. And of course, we have over time seen a huge graphical increase in Star Trek Online from the first screenshots last year to the level of screenshots that we're seeing now. And I think that as we enter beta and as we go through beta, we're going to see the graphical quality improve further. Textures that are in some cases placeholders at the moment may be replaced, as happened with Champions Online quite frequently through beta. And I think that just generally things will continue to improve graphically, you know, as things move on. And as Temgros said from PAX, although Star Trek Online might not have stolen the graphics show, you know, although Star Trek Online might have not been the most graphically beautiful, appealing game there, you know, compared to some of the other franchises that were there, in terms of content and in terms of playability and in terms of just the episodic playability and everything, Star Trek Online stole the show. So I think that we've got, you know, a lot to look forward to. Sorry for that little speech there, folks. Nova, what do you think of this, of these two night screenshots on the ground?
I don't know. I really don't. The one element to this that I really actually enjoy is to the left-hand side, that the character created or alien type species. I'm still kind of waiting. The big thing for me is whether or not, as you're playing the game, daytime will transition into night and night will transition into day and things like that, and whether or not there's going to be some real environmental aspects. Daytime shots, nighttime shots, they really don't tell us a whole lot about the environment itself, other than the fact that, you know, we're going to be playing in some instances where it's nighttime or daytime. So we'll see what happens with regards to that. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to know until the game comes out. Overall, you know, I don't necessarily see a whole lot going on other than the fact that, you know, they seem to have really taken focus on the phaser beams. When they leave the weapon, there seems to be a slight flash and then the beam. That's kind of cool. I really do kind of like that. The one thing that I have noticed, though, is on a lot of these uniforms that we've seen, aside from them looking dramatically different over a period of time, and I don't know if that's due to progression of the character or due to some sort of customization that we can do with the uniforms, but I'm not seeing any rank either. So I'm kind of curious to see where and how and if we are going to be able to represent rank in any way within the game for not only our bridge crew, but also for ourselves.
Okay. I'm gonna skip us forward here, because obviously screenshots are great, but you know what the real discussion is going on at the moment is the video. The comments coming out of PAX are that for as good as the screenshots look, for as great as the screenshots look, when you see the video, when you see Star Trek Online in action, the screenshots do not do it any justice whatsoever. It's just 100 times more graphically, you know, beautiful, amazing, insert word here, than we have seen in the screenshots. Now, we've had a couple of videos come out from PAX over the weekend. There were two 1-minute videos released by someone on YouTube showing some ground play, and also Tam Gross, who is our reporter at PAX, he's also a member of All Out Assault. He has released an 8-minute video of him actually playing the public demo of Star Trek Online. And it's zoomed right up to the screen, so you can actually see very, very closely how things are looking. And, I mean, I've got some comments on that video. There are things that I've spotted in that video that I really like. But before I ramble on, I would like to know what you think, Athos. Did you get a chance to watch that video?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And, again, being a relative newbie to MMOs, and I've not played MMOs before, I kind of see it in fresh perspective, and maybe that'll help relate. But, you know, one of the main concerns that I remember personally, people bringing up was, as far as Starship Combat, it was all going to be two-dimensional. You know, it's going to be like Starfleet Command 3, where, you know, you're flying on the same plane, and only when the ships are going to collide will they maybe move up and down, and then back down to the same level. Well, I think this video just proved, no, that's not the case. When the Miranda class and the three birds of prey are fighting, now, yes, you have a camera that can move around 360 around your ship, but throughout the fight, you see the ship going up, you see him going down, you see the bird of prey clearly underneath the hull of the Miranda class. So it's not maybe as liberal as Bridge Commander can be, where you can really have full three-dimensional space, but it seems to have that freedom within a certain region. So it's two-dimensional, but 3D in a certain range. So that was really big, and that's really cool. I like the comment about how you actually have weapons basically in all directions. The torpedoes are a little harder to aim, have a little bit more narrow of a field of fire, which, you know, that tracks, I mean, with what we know about Starfleet, weaponry. So, you know, it's cool. They obviously put a lot of thought into it. You know, the phasers do more damage to the shield. The torpedoes don't do as much damage if there's full shields. You know, they're really meant for hull damage. They talked about the customization of the power settings a few times. So, you know, you've got your presets, and then you go in and you can adjust. And I believe they even intoned that you could adjust your presets. So once you get them to where you think you like them, you can hit a button and, you know, it preset. So a lot of customization options. From a guy that's not played an MMO before, that looks really easy to interact with and to play with. So really excited to get my hands on it.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Nova.
Actually, I tend to agree with a lot of things that Athos said. I think he was right on with a lot of his interpretations of it. The one aspect that I'd like to highlight that I don't think we've seen at all except through this video is when you bring up your bridge crew, there seems to create a secondary window where it shows them kind of maneuvering back and forth, and you can adjust stats and do certain things with it and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. You know, if for some of you who remember the perpetual creation, they were kind of advocating something like that. I think a Bemphalian was shown at that point in time. Now, whether or not that individual was just simply a contact or there was something special about that, it seems Cryptic took a similar concept or idea and just simply made it a lot better. The other thing about this is unfortunately there are some degree of loading screens. Yes, you know, I don't know that there was really going to be any other way around it based on the direction that they went with it, but you know, it is what it is. There are, you know, there's loading screens. They're necessary evil in some cases, I suppose. But I think the quality of the way the game looks, the playability from what we can see in this video, as well as all the other elements that come into, you know, the game, to include a UI that doesn't seem to get in your way, seems to be really, really cool and really nice. And, you know, I'm actually really excited about it. So I firmly believe that based on this, there are far more benefits than there are, you know, things to take away from it. So great stuff, really awesome. And ship combat, it just looks absolutely smashing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be a little bit more... I'm not going to analyze it in such depth as you and Atha is just there. I'm going to be a little bit more superficial and just say that when I watched the gameplay, bearing in mind that it's a camera pointing at a screen, so therefore you lose some of the visual quality that way. When I was watching the 8-minute gameplay video, I was just quite literally blown away. The way that the phasers looked when they were firing, for a start, I actually saw strips of... You know how on the Galaxy class you see the beams of light traveling along the strips, the phaser strips, before the phaser actually fires? I distinctly saw that on the ship that was firing at the Klingon Birds of Prey. When the Klingon Birds of Prey were firing, the way that the disruptors looked as they were moving towards you and then impacted your ship just was awesome. I love the way that you can... In some of the gameplay videos that we saw from GamesCon, I was a little bit concerned that it was forced, that you had to be zoomed out when you were in ship combat, that the camera automatically backed away from your ship a significant amount. But in this video, we saw that you can, in fact, zoom in and out as you please. So if you want to be right up to your ship observing all the nitty-gritty details, you can be. And if you want to be zoomed out in a more backed-off Starfleet Command a la camera view, you can be. Just overall, I was absolutely blown away with how it looked. Looks better than Bridge Commander, looks better than Legacy, looks better than any Star Trek game that I've seen before that involves space combat, in my opinion. The buzz from Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle is that thousands of people are hitting the Star Trek Online booth and saying that Star Trek Online is the best Star Trek game that they've ever seen. Not just a significantly decent MMO, but people are actually saying that Star Trek Online is the best Star Trek gaming experience that they have ever had. And obviously I have not played the game myself yet, I'm hoping that I will get that opportunity very soon. However, I would tend to echo the sentiments of people out of PAX that this is going to be potentially, as far as space combat goes, at the very least, I'm still undecided on the ground combat, you know, one of the best gaming experiences for a Star Trek fan. Kinnis, do you have any comments from the Star Trek Online chat room?
No, not really too many. I'm going to go ahead and play devil's advocate here. I have a problem with the GUI. Elements aren't consistent in size. You get big to small, and they don't line up very good. It doesn't feel very console-ish. I do like how when you click certain things, you know, it branches off, and you get kind of an L-Cars feel. I do like that. I think the bridge officers pulling them up and activating different things is very cumbersome. I really don't like the pop-ups. It seems like a really big waste of space to have those big characters pop up when they could be the same size as a GUI element on the bottom or up in the corner. I would prefer it if they were audio comments so they didn't pop up. I noticed when that character or when people have been playing and they go right into that encounter, those pop-ups come in and you don't have that time to start targeting and setting your things. You have to deal with your bridge officers in your face. And with Champions Online, there was really no way to get rid of the pop-ups. You can resize them. So I'm not a real big fan of the GUI at all. It doesn't, you know, and I know it's in beta, so hey, you know, but I'm taking devil's advocate here. When people are shooting at the ship, it seems like a lot of phaser shots are bypassing the shields. If a phaser is going to hit the shields, it should dissipate on the shield, and it seems like a lot of the phaser shots get by and are impacting on the ship. The combat seems way too fast. It seems very dogfighter-ish, and just phasers everywhere and blasts everywhere, and maybe folks like that, but I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more tall ship and a little bit more tactical and slow. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10, I guess, at the moment.
Wow, such a low rating there. Remember, there were 3 Birds of Prey versus 1 of our ships, so there was a lot of fire coming from them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very strange that you say that, Kinnis, because the general consensus is that the combat in Star Trek Online is actually quite slow. I mean, especially when you compare it to the speed of combat in other MMOs, for example, even EVE Online. I mean, EVE Online can be quite epic at times, but combat can very quickly get out of hand. So I think maybe it's something that perhaps we need to wait and experience ourselves before making a decision. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't think that it looks any faster than, for example, Bridge Commander. And, I mean, Bridge Commander can be fairly tactical at times as well. So, I don't know. Hopefully, we will get a chance to try it and find out very, very soon. Nova, did you have any final comments on that before we moved on?
No, not at all, actually.
I did have one quick thing, Zach, just in response to what you were saying. You were saying something about no recharge rates. I do specifically remember about them talking about diverting a certain amount of power to your weapons. So it might not have been obvious, but it looked like there was some influence about either recharge or how much damage. Plus, you know, I watched the weapons impact the shields, and I think it's a matter of interpreting how far down your shields get. Because once your shields start dropping, you know, below 50, below 40%, whatever, some of the shots do start going through. So it's kind of one of those deals. You gotta understand, and, you know, not that I entirely do, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, in general, you gotta understand how to read what your shield status is.
Yeah. Kinnis, what were you going to say there?
Oh, there's more devil's advocates comments coming out of the chat room. One Soul 1982 says, one of the problems he has is with the 30 seconds to fire your torpedoes. Well, this is the 24th century, late 24th century. By the speed the phasers are firing and things are firing, there's no recharge rate. So what's the big deal with holding your photon spreads for more than 30 seconds? You know, if there's plenty of power available, they should be overloading it, you know. So he has a problem with the photons, the 30 seconds.
All right, then. Moving on again, I would like to, I mean, you touched briefly on it a few moments ago, Kinnis, The user interface. Obviously, the first look that we had at the Star Trek Online user interface was at GamesCon. We had a very, very blurry screenshot come out from Craig Zinkovich's Twitter. And then GameSpot went on to release another screenshot or a photo that was, again, very blurry. And then as PAX has been going on this week, Tam Gross has uploaded several photographs in very, very high resolution, where we've been able to see the user interface in more detail. So I just wanted to discuss that for a few moments. And I'm very curious to find out what Athos and Nova think. I have some opinions and thoughts on it myself. But again, before I go on, let's go through the cycle. Nova, let's start with you. What are you thinking of the UI now that we are seeing more of it, both in terms of photographs and in the video itself?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start from left to right on the image that I'm looking at. I actually really like it. I really do. I like the fact that they were able to integrate a LCARS-ish look to it. Maybe even in some cases, possibly a TCARS appearance or the beginning of the TCARS appearance. But it's not overdone. You know, with LCARS being that it's really not designed for a user with a keyboard and a mouse type control, LCARS in itself really isn't a intuitive interface. But the way the developers at STO have, at Cryptic, have managed to represent it seems to be very, very effective, and I'm quite pleased with it. So as far as full impulse and reverse, I like the way that's represented. You know, there seem to be various levels in which your speed can be adjusted from full impulse to one half impulse, and of course reverse. The shield strength, whether it be, you know, it obviously identifies the type of ship that's being used here, and then whether or not you want to reinforce on various sides. Very, very quick, very, very fast. I really enjoy it. If we can map any of these to certain keys, I'll love it even more, because sometimes mouse clicks just aren't fast enough, especially when you're in a, you know, into some serious combat. Presets with your attack, defense, speed, and balanced, all that great stuff. Wonderful. I love the fact that you can set different shield levels, different, you know, auxiliary, you know, set all of your different systems to various levels dictated by whatever type of tactic that you're moving into. Really awesome. And I can't wait to see that expanded and much better. And hopefully, again, we'll be mapping keys to that as well. I'm not entirely sure what this weapons console is towards the middle. I'm seeing fire all, fire torpedoes, fire beams, I guess that's what that is. And then 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'm assuming those are various targeting arcs, maybe strengths, possibly something that we're just going to have to look at, play around with, and see how it works out. It seems obviously just through common sense that you can choose to fire just torpedoes or just phasers or fire them all at one time. I'd be interested to see how that affects your ability to maintain power and strength. Bridge crew, I really hope this is not the extent of the bridge crew that's available to us. There's essentially only 3 people. I want to say that, you know, hopefully that as we get access to larger ships, that we'll have more access to more bridge crew and things like that. Lower right-hand corner, there's some sort of Alt-1, Alt-2, maybe alternative abilities or powers, who knows. Again, not entirely sure what all that means. And then, of course, science, nav, ops, and communication seems to be all of your subsystems. The one thing that I do have question here that we have not seen is, where's the chat window? Where's the chat window going to be? And that may be the element of the UI that gets in the way. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. We'll see what we can see. But overall, it certainly has a 8 out of 10 on my book.
Yeah, I've been very, very curious about the chat window as well. Because to be honest with you, playing Champions Online, and yes, folks, I have been playing Champions Online. I've actually been playing it for a couple of hours every day. I find myself always turning off the chat window. I don't pay much attention to it, but that may just be because I'm just playing Champions to have something to play rather than interact with people too much. But I find myself that it's always getting in the way, especially when I'm playing on my laptop, which has got a smaller screen. It just takes up too much space, even once resized. So, that's my comment on the chat window related comment. Athos, I bet you are itching to say something about this user interface. So I'm not going to hold you back any further. What have you got, buddy?
Well, I totally agree with a lot of Nova's comments. I think he interpreted what I'm saying as well, especially the presets. And not only are they presets, but they're adjustable presets, so you can rearrange what your own presets are. The weapons console is kind of where I want to pick up. You obviously have the torpedoes and beams, and that is beams, and then fire all. That's great. What I'm seeing, though, the 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm seeing fore and aft weapons. You've got your forward torpedoes, forward phasers, and then aft. That's kind of how I'm interpreting that. And it looks like there's plenty of room for expansion. So you get the larger ships, you'll get more, weapons pods, if you will. Moving on to bridge officers, I remember distinctly when I was at the Vegas Con and I asked this question to Craig Zinkovich, and he said, specifically, up to 12 bridge officers. So it depends on your class of ship. So for this Miranda class, kind of small, maybe you do only get 3 bridge officers, or maybe this is what you start with and you might be able to get 1 or 2 more for the Miranda. But I remember that distinct answer. It was up to 12 bridge officers. And it looks like they have their own little specialties. They've got symbols, different symbols for each one of those 3 that are displayed on this particular screenshot. Again, bottom right, yeah, it could be maybe special weapons, special options for the ship. And then on the side, the science, nav, ops, and comm. The one thing I picked up on, science doesn't have a symbol in the middle. It's dark. And then nav, ops, and comm have a symbol in there. So maybe the 3 bridge officers are manning the navigation, ops, and comm, and there is no science officer at the moment. That's kind of what I'm picked up on this.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I also agree with you on the fact that those 1, 2, 3, 4 are the weapon slots. You see something very similar in Champions where each of your weapons has got a number next to it. I think that the logos on the actual buttons are not very clear at the moment, hence the confusion on that. But I agree that those are most likely weapons. Just a couple of things that I wanted to touch on here. A reminder that all UI elements are movable. All UI elements are resizable. Something that Craig Zinkovich said in the video interview that we did with him at PAX, that we're going to play the audio version of a little bit later, is that some of these windows here can be expanded very, very far. For example, the power sliders. You can have the basic control over your power levels there, as seen in the 4 sliders. Or he stated that you can actually expand the power level window and have control over each individual system on your ship. Kind of like that mod for Bridge Commander, where it expanded the power sliders thing from Bridge Commander, and then you could expand it and have like an advanced overview of all of your power systems. That was a modification for Bridge Commander, and by the sounds of it, they're doing something like that by default in Star Trek Online. On the power sliders under that, you've got Savers Preset, Reset Preset, which says to me, obviously, that you can save your settings. Craig Zinkovich, again, stated that this is not just the case for power systems, but you can also potentially save your evasive maneuver patterns, weapons patterns, so on and so forth. I think that's pretty much all I have on the user interface. Nova, you say you've got one last thing there?
Yeah, actually, it's just really quick. It doesn't have anything to do with the user interface, but the image that I'm looking at of the Miranda that I've been using to get a close-up look of the user interface, I noticed 2 little blue dots on top of the Miranda, and when I was zoomed out, I'm like, well, what is that? So when I went to the high-res version of it, it's the United Federation of Planets logo.
Yes.
I wonder if that's part of the ship customization.
Yes, it is.
Where we'll be able to put specific logos. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yes, it is. That is one piece of information that has come out of Penny Arcade Expo, that you can actually place your own logos on your ship. So, clans and guilds, good news for you. You're going to be able to put your logos on your ship.
Start your designs now.
So, I hope that answers your question, Nova. Yeah, there has been so much information coming out of PAX, it's almost impossible to keep on top of it. But somehow Caneas has been managing in some threads that he's been maintaining on the Hailing Frequency forums. We've got day one and day two so far where Caneas has been monitoring literally every piece of information to come out of PAX, and he's compiled it all into two threads, so we'll get some links up for that later on. Caneas, do you have any comments? Any comments from the Star Trek Online chat?
Yeah, in the chat room, other folks are saying, yeah, they don't really appreciate the bridge officer pop-ups. They think that, yeah, they could be put into a corner or into the chat box or tab them somewhere else or put them down below, that they do dominate too much of the screen when they pop up. Other folks are really enjoying the GUI. They say it's very minimalistic and they really appreciate it. I think I've already said my comments on it. I think it could still be improved. I don't think it's that great looking. I think it could be more console-ish. I think the console elements, whether they can be moved or not, can all snap into one sort of console design. We'll just see.
Yes, yes, indeed. There are a couple of other photographs that we have got that show some other elements of the user interface. Obviously, when you have got your ships when you've got enemy ships targeted, there's some nice information that appears around the ships on the HUD. Also, there's one particular screenshot where you have some information on evasive maneuvers 1, with some information on plus 20 flight speed for 8 seconds, plus 1 flight traction for 8 seconds, plus 207% flight turn rate for 8 seconds. So, again, that's another very nice indication of some information that is going to be available via the user interface. Also, on one of the screenshots, again, not one of the photographs, again, not particularly Star Trek on, not particularly user interface related, but just the scale of the Miranda class when compared to the orange planet that it's engaging in combat around, very, 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 very nice. Any final comments, guys, before we move on?
I am so looking forward to using my G15 keyboard.
Is that the same keyboard you got me to order, Nova?
Oh, yes. Presets 1 through 18 and 3 different options of each. Oh, it's going to be so glorious.
I'm looking forward to tying my Alienware computer into my 46-inch HDTV and playing Star Trek Online there with surround sound.
Nice.
I officially hate you.
That's nice. Yeah, that's very nice. Speaking of PAX real quick, they built some amazing installations to display the games at PAX, and some of the comments kept coming up in the chat room for Star Trek Online how people want to turn their living rooms into bridges. So set up their HD at the front of the room, get themselves a nice little command chair and work their keyboard and controls into their command chair and have a bridge living room.
Absolutely.
We need pictures. Anybody who does that, send pictures to Hailing Frequency.
Yes, 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 do indeed. Okay, guys, we are now, guys and girls, and anybody else that is listening, we are now going to take a break. We're going to go to the first song that we have for today's show, and then we're going to go over to our second edition of Fleet Focus, where this week we are talking to the Risen Phoenix Fleet. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about some other aspects of Star Trek Online, some of the general community feelings and responses towards the playtest and some of the people that have actually got to play Star Trek Online at PAX, and some maybe some beta predictions based on some of the comments that have been coming out of PAX. And then later on in the show, as I said, we're going to have Chiron's Corner Edition 2. And we're going to play the audio version of that Craig Zinkovich interview. So stay tuned, folks. And here is the first song for this edition of Hailing Frequency. Hope you enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? To hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. Tough young guys, sinewy bodies and their fingers and teeny toes challenge the rock, challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love. There is a passionate affair going on between Kirk and the mountain. Kirk is on the mountain. Now, in order to create that illusion, sucking some of the most sensational men who not only climb, are voracious, fleeting, and elusive, and peripheral. And that's putting me on the mountain. Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain? Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Hold it, please. Hug the mountain. Envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. To envelop that mountain. Hug the mountain. That mountain. That mountain. He wants to make love to the mountain. And the climb is going where no man has gone before. Where no man has gone before. Challenge the rock, challenging death. Why do I climb the mountain? Because I'm in love.
Coming this fall, 2009. Where no one has gone before, there is an ultimate universe of adventure. In the eternal darkness of the final frontier, there lurks danger. And the ongoing mission never ends. The time has come for you to leave the cradle of your home world and seek out the destiny that is your calling. Chris Jones Gaming proudly invites you to boldly go into the next level of deep space adventure. Star Trek Legacy, the Ultimate Universe, version 2.0. Enter an expansive Star Trek gaming experience that takes you through many generations of missions from all the television series and motion pictures, along with many original missions. You command Ultimate Universe tools that allow you either random or ship-selectable skirmishes with infinite combinations available to you. Improved graphics and gameplay enhance your experience with many new high-quality ship models, as well as new music and custom audio effects. Switch to exploration mode to roam through all the star maps free of hindrance. You will even find bonus behind-the-scenes extras and interviews with the game's creators. There are worlds to discover. Worlds to protect. Worlds to conquer. Worlds to assimilate. Worlds of possibilities awaiting you in Star Trek Legacy, the Ultimate Universe, version 2.0. set out for the stars, and return victorious. For more information, visit www.ultimateuniversemod.net.
Hey guys, this is Dark Thunder. You're listening to Hailing Frequency, the greatest podcast on the internet.
Hi, I am Beelzebub, and you're listening to Hailing Frequency, the best Star Trek gaming podcast on the internet.
Hello from the STO forums. This is Napalm 006, and you're listening to Hailing Frequency on the UFP Media Network.
Hi, this is Victor Foss from www.StarTrek-Gamers.com, and you're listening to Hailing Frequencies.
Okay, folks, welcome to Fleet Focus Episode 2. This is the second in our new series of Fleet Focus segments where every show we're going to be talking to a different Star Trek fleet. This week I am with Fiasco. He is from the Risen Phoenix fleet. How are you doing today, Fiasco?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on your show, Zach.
No problem. We're glad to have you here. So, first things first, can you give us a little bit of a background and history on the Risen Phoenix?
Sure, no problem. The Risen Phoenix was commissioned and ratified our treaty, our charter, 25th of January, 2009. We are remnants of the old 11th Fleet Spartan Vanguard. We banded together through the game Pirates of the Burning Sea. It was an MMO. It was a bunch of friends got together and they said, okay, let's go ahead and do this. So one of our main people, Da, got us together, got the website up, got us working together, got the team speak up, and we started doing things together. We started getting policies written, started getting games underneath our belt. And slowly and surely, our player base started growing. And then as our player base started growing, other things started coming up, resources that we had. So we started adapting those resources to the fleet, a la the website. And since June 11th, 2009, I have taken the mantle as fleet admiral and site owner.
Okay, then. So looking at your website now, it looks like that you're not exclusively a Star Trek gaming fleet. It looks like you play a bunch of other games as well. What are some of the Star Trek games that you play currently, if any, and what are some of the non-Star Trek ones as well?
Currently, for the Star Trek games, we play Armada 2. We also play the Armada 2 Fleet Ops. We just got into that as a recreational game.
Okay.
We hold two Left 4 Dead servers. We play Left 4 Dead, and we're also very heavy on Steam. We also play Team Fortress 2. See, most of the fleet, a lot of the old members of the fleet, like myself, we are old Star Trek gamers. I know when I first started gaming back in 2003, I was with a group called the Maquis Pirate Syndicate, and we played Starfleet Command 3 on GameSpy Arcade constantly through the tournaments. We played the Dynaverse 2 constantly. We participated in Unity mod. That's how old I am.
Then we may well have been unspoken adversaries, sir, because I certainly remember the old Maquis Syndicate fleet, and I was at the time heading up the UFPF. God, I can't even remember the name of my old fleet. United Federation Task Force. UFTF.
Yes, I do remember you guys.
Indeed. So we may well have been unknown adversaries at the time. So presumably you guys are, being Star Trek gamers, you're waiting very excitedly for Star Trek Online. Is that right?
That's correct. Star Trek Online is the first and probably our second foray into MMO, okay, but it's our first fully integrated Star Trek game that we'll have in a long time. We tried Legacy back a couple years ago. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I think a lot of clans and guilds had issues and problems with Legacy, so you wouldn't be the first. So how many members do you have currently, you know, waiting to you know, head into Star Trek Online?
Currently, our membership of the Brotherhood of the Risen Phoenix is currently 29 members. Okay. We're going to get our 30th member. We're going to get our 30th member this week. The STO division currently has 17.
Okay. And presumably, I mean, I guess what I would like to find out here is, obviously, you've got Star Trek fleets, you know, all over the place, with, you know, all different variety of members from all over the place, really. I mean, what are some of the key things that you feel make the Risen Phoenix stand out from, you know, from other fleets? I mean, would you say that the fact that you're comprised of mainly old-time Star Trek gamers is something that makes you stand out, and are there other things, or...?
One of the things that makes the Brotherhood of the Risen Phoenix unique from other organizations is that our true fellowship and brotherhood. If you are brought into the Brotherhood of the Risen Phoenix, you are a brother or a sister. You are not a peon initiate. You are one of the Brotherhood. I, being the Fleet Admiral, I am open to every single member of the Risen Phoenix. You can come talk to me like I was your buddy having a drink on the corner. That's not a problem for me. But when it comes down to being tactical and in-game, our ranks do take precedence.
Okay. And in terms of the history, I mean, obviously I'm aware that you only ratified your, you know, your constitution, for lack of a better word, on, you know, towards the beginning of 2009. Has the Risen Phoenix, you know, kind of been active in playing games such as Star Trek Armada with other Star Trek gaming clans? You know, have you set up matches and, you know, friendly fights and, you know, perhaps not so friendly fights? Have you been active in that area?
Yes, that is correct. We have been active in that area. We do play with the X-Fleet Sentinels. Mm-hmm. We play with the UFP at UFPfleet.org.
Okay.
And we also play with the Dark Forces fleet.
Okay, then. So, in terms of your recruitment policies and the kind of members that you hope to attract into the Risen Phoenix, I mean, do you have any specific requirements, or are you open to everybody and anybody?
Our recruitment process is simple. If you want to be a brother in the Brotherhood of the Risen Phoenix, all you have to do is first come to our site and register. Number two, go to our member application and fill it out, and then you will be alerted later. Normally, when we recruit off people that we play, people that are adversaries or people that have teamed up with us. The character that we're looking for is people that have good, solid character, people that want to play, want to participate, want to contribute into the fleet, because our fleet is member-driven. Whatever you put into the fleet, you're going to get out of it.
Okay, then. And if you had to summarize into one line, you know, just one solid line, what the Risen Phoenix is, what it stands for, and where you hope to go in the future, what would that sentence be off the top of your head?
Fair play, true brotherhood, fellowship, and ever forward.
So just in conclusion, is there anything that you would like to take the opportunity to say to, you know, any of the people listening to Hailing Frequency, or, you know, just more generally, anybody out there in the community? Is there a message that you would like to put out there into the community?
Yes, there is. The Brotherhood of the Risen Phoenix Fleet and Clan is here. We're here to stay. If you want to come ahead and take a look at us, please, by all means, take a look at us at www.therisenphoenixfleet.com. No hyphens. That's www.therisenphoenixfleet.com. Don't hesitate to come check us out. If you want to take a look at us, go right ahead. If you want to join us, by all means, come to our site and register. We are open, we are friendly, we're accessible. As Zach is accessible to me, I'm the Fleet Admiral. I have no problem bringing in new members.
All right, then. That is pretty much all of the questions that I had for you today, Fiasco. So I would like to thank you very much for joining us on the second Fleet Focus here on Hailing Frequency. And I would certainly like to have you on once again down the line, perhaps once Star Trek Online has launched, whenever that may be. I don't think anybody's too sure about that at the moment. And, you know, I will get a link up to your website on the Hailing Frequency website. I think we've already got some links there, but I'll get another one up as this show is released. And hopefully you will get some interest to your website and make some new friends.
I hope so. Thank you very much for having me, Zach. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you for saying so, Fiasco. Okay, folks, we are going to go to another break now, but if you stay tuned, we will be back right after these adverts.
Under the ruined moon of Praxis, life as a Klingon can be a brutal one.
You will either live a Klingon with the strength to hold your own against the world, or die a Klingon fighting the elements.
But even on the Klingon homeworld, there are three universal constants. Motherhood.
Be gone, for I do not want to set eyes on you unless you hold our son alive in your arms.
Fatherhood.
This is the only gift I can give you. The chance of a short life and an honorable death.
And inheritance.
Then so be it. This feud must end now before the blood of more innocents is spilled.
Tales of Death and Honor. Fan-produced audio flash fiction. Books 2 and 3 coming this Christmas. A Silver Tongue production from the House of Lostock.
Okay, folks, we are back. First things first, if anybody would like to download Captain Kirk's epic journey of climbing the mountain to hug it and make love to it, that is available for a free MP3 download at www.fallonyoursword.com. Nice little plug for them there. Okay, so we are going to continue now talking about all things Star Trek Online related. But before we do, Kineas, Athos, Nova, are you still with me?
Hey, I'm still here.
Hey, I'm here.
Just hanging out in the chat.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so this is going to be a slightly shorter discussion segment now. This first part's going to be focused on another few comments that have come out of PAX in recent days. And it's surrounding the pending Star Trek Online beta. Now, first things first, a few days ago, Cryptic Studios made available on the Star Trek Online website a form where people can sign up for the Star Trek Online beta. So that's the first point that I want to bring to everybody's attention. The second point is Tam Gross, when speaking to Craig Zinkovich there at Penny Arcade Expo, stated that the Star Trek Online beta is going to be very, very soon, and I believe he emphasized the two verys. And the third point I would like to make is also a rumor that has come out of Penny Arcade Expo that I've seen posted in a couple of different places, and that is relating to the fact that a period of open internal beta testing has just begun at Cryptic Studios. This is something that has primarily come out of Penny Arcade Expo, but we've been kind of hearing it in from a few other places as well. So I guess the question that I have got to pose to you guys, Nova, Athos, Kineas, is at this point, how long do you each respectively think that we are from beta? Nova first.
I don't know. I've, you know, obviously they need to take some time to build up the number of applications, and I'm sure they already have quite a few things in place to help them come to those conclusions. I know early on during the announcement, Jack Emmert had said that, you know, to sign on to the forums, you know, activity is going to be a big thing in terms of determining who, you know, who plays in beta. Whether or not that's still the case, I'm not entirely sure. although I don't think that should be the, you know, the sole filter for determining whether or not you get into beta. But, you know, I think with the applications, with all the keys that they've been handing out in events, in the chat room and various other areas, as well as what they're going to make available to, you know, gaming sites like IGN and hopefully Hailing Frequency and stuff. I really think that they're going to be able to hit a pretty large number pretty quickly. So I would gauge, I don't know, within the next couple of months for closed beta.
Okay, then. And I guess, I mean, Caneus, you have been, you know, possibly following the idea of a Star Trek Online longer than anybody. So, I mean, what are your predictions on beta at this point, and what are your hopes, even?
I expect that the beta will be starting soon. My hopes are they take as long as needed. It seems like they've got a long way to go still, but I don't know. I hope that we get a lot of good folks in there that are old-timers. I think the hardcore are going to be invaluable in something like that. And I think that they should not be afraid to speak their mind on every tiny little thing that they think might be possibly wrong or uncomfortable. And that's the most important thing, is just please speak your mind. And we got to think about this for the long-term crowd.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that I am kind of being slightly more optimistic than everybody at this point, because my general gut feeling is that kind of we can my general kind of guess is that we can expect it within a period of weeks at the moment. I think that it's very, 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 very close at this point. I mean, I cast my mind back to when Champions Online was first going into closed beta, and they, of course, put the form up on the Champions Online website for people to sign up for the Champions Online closed beta, and then, lo and behold, a few weeks later, it began. You know, people got emails, notification of the first closed beta, and off it went. So, I mean, I guess that generally I'm a little bit more optimistic than some people at the moment. And I would say that after 5-6 years of waiting, to paraphrase George Takei, it's high time. Any comments in the comments in the chat room, Caneus?
No, not at the moment. Hey, yeah, definitely Cryptic can show that it can knock a game out. But again, comparing it to... I hate comparing it, but I guess that's all we can do.
Yeah, of course.
Comparing it to something like the screenshots of Star Trek Excalibur. Uh-huh. You know, I hate shoving Excalibur in their face all the time, but, you know, really have a look at that. I mean, look, you know, I know that it's a MMO, but it really still does, in a lot of ways, feel like a Champions game.
Yeah.
It's not as beautiful as I think it could be, and I hope that changes. It seems that there's been a step backwards in the lighting, and I hope the lighting keeps continuing to be pushed like Star Trek Excalibur. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the thing that you've got to bear in mind is, whereas Star Trek Excalibur is, you know, a fan game, they can kind of take as much time as they want. They're not stressed by any budget or release dates or corporate, you know, mumbo jumbo. Star Trek Online, you know, they've got a deadline. CBS, when they were handing out, you know, or when they were redistributing the license for Star Trek Online after Perpetual went down the drain, you know, one of their rules was that Star Trek Online has to be delivered by X. And, you know, that X, as we know, is early 2010. When exactly 2010 that is, we do not know. So obviously Cryptic had a head start with their fact that they had a game engine already. But, you know, maybe the fact is that they haven't got as much time as they would like to get the graphics up to the level that they would all like. However, I think that the graphics are going to be better than any official Star Trek game that we've had to date. But I don't think comparing it to a fan game is really fair. So I guess that's the point that I'm trying to kind of make. I don't know. Moving on now slightly. I just wanted to take a moment to just kind of convey the general community feeling and, you know, how much the hype has improved as far as, you know, as far as Star Trek Online goes over the past 4 or 5 days, you know, as PAX has been ongoing. I mean, Caneus, you're probably the best person to ask because every time I look, you're in the Star Trek Online chat room. So, I mean, what have things been like in there as PAX has been ongoing? You know, have people's expectations been increasing? Has the hype level increased significantly, would you say?
Oh, being in there is fantastic. Following along and being in the chat room as information has been coming out is just a hoot. UFRAG TV has also been doing streaming live coverage of PAX. And being in that chat room with all the folks from the Star Trek Online chat room has been an absolute hoot. I think that we absolutely drove them crazy, demanding that they get out there on the floor and see Star Trek Online or bring us more Star Trek footage or get an interview with Cryptic Zinc. And they did. And that was really fantastic of them. And their coverage has been awesome. Anyway, it's been fantastic.
Okay. So, I mean...
And the excitement is very, very contagious.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I have observed in my brief stints on the Star Trek Online forums is that people that had previously been saying that they are not necessarily going to play Star Trek Online are now saying that they absolutely 100% without fail, definitely nothing's going to hold them back, nothing's going to stop them from playing Star Trek Online. And, you know, in some cases, that's a very, very, very big swing in opinion. I mean, some people have been very, very vocal in the past, you know, saying that they don't want to play the game, are now saying that they're going to.
Just to be totally fair, I have actually seen a lot of the opposite as well. I've seen people now come in and say, well, I've seen it. I've got to see it played, and I'm going to make up my mind. I don't ever want to play this game. So yeah. That is happening too.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of instances of that. So I think that things are just going to kind of spend the next, you know, month or two just rebalancing. Some people who had previously wanted to play may have got expectations up that were unrealistic and therefore have been disappointed by some of the stuff that they've seen. Whereas other people were not expecting very much and now they're seeing some of the stuff that they're getting and, you know, they're kind of a little bit more enthused about it. I didn't have high expectations, but I didn't have low expectations either. I was somewhere in the middle, and having seen some of the videos and content over the past few days, I have to say that I'm very happy with what I'm seeing, and I'm very much looking forward to playing, and I'm looking forward to the start of closed beta. And, yeah. Okay then, folks, it's time for another break now. We are going to go... We've had a request to play one of the UFP medias, so we're going to give that a little play now. Then we're going to go over to part two of the Star Trek Gaming News for this show. Then we are going to jump right into the audio version of the Craig Zinkovich interview. And then after that, at some point, we have Chiron's Corner Edition 2. And then... That will probably be the end of the show. Wow, four thens. So, we're going to go over to UFP Media, then the news, then the interview, and we will be back after all of that. So, stay tuned, folks. Enjoy.
Celebrating over 300 years of broadcasting excellence, UFP Media Network. You're listening to the UFP Media Network. News, weather, hourly traffic reports, great music, and entertainment. UFP Media Network.
We join the following show already in progress.
I just can't stand myself when I sound like everyone else talking about the way that things should be. Talking about the way the way that things should be, the way that things should be.
That was Arthur Yoria talking about the way that things should be. We sure have a lot of opinions about that, don't we? Later in the day, we'll be taking your call so you can voice your opinions about what's going on in the UFP. Hey, so good morning. I'm Kineas, and you, my spacefaring friends, are tuned into the voice of the United Federation of Planets. This is UFP Media. It's the top of the hour and time for your UFP traffic report. It's going to be smooth sailing down the Tau Ceti corridor to Van Manen Star, Groombridge 34, and Chara. There is some backup there at the Y towards 10-can and Ventacorum, Ursa Majoris as well as Denim 16 Ceti. Tellarite protester traffic is bunging up the V, so plan on long commutes to Tellarite, Trilax, Vega, Beta Comae, Barnard Star, Formal Hout, and Altair. Up and down the I, it's clear with better than normal travel times to Tau Butis, Orphicus, Tau Ceti, Ursa Majoris 61 and 47. No problems on the 2, 3, 4, and 5 to Drylax, Alpha Centauri, the Wolfs, and Sirius. The hub at Vulcan is flowing somewhat logically today with minor delays to Andoria, Aldus Prime, Jarral, Epsilon Sculptoris, Delta Leonis, Alpha Fornasis, and Laurelina. Reports are coming in of unusually heavy delays on the down to Orion. UFP Media News reporters suspect the heavy flow is due to a recently announced Orion slave auction. For local sector traffic or traffic beyond these regions, tune into your local system services. UFP Media Time Saver Tip. Don't forget to stop into your local Jiffy Lube to have your dilithium crystal properly seated. A loose crystal could cost you valuable time and money, and is such a fast and easy tune-up, so stop into your local Jiffy Lube today. Tell them UFP Media sent you and receive 10% off. This has been your UFP Traffic Report. Tune in for traffic reports every hour on the hour. Up next, UFP Weather. Celebrating over 300 years of broadcasting excellence, UFP Media Network.
You don't have to live with hair loss anymore. And who has better looking hair than us felines? Cation Hair Specialist promised to restore your mane back to its full glory. Whether it's just isolated spots or full body hair loss due to radiation, we cats know how to give you your hair as well as your confidence back. Book your appointment at a Cation Hair Specialist today.
Are you sick of the man? Well, so am I, and so is my granddad, Harcourt Fenton Mudd. Hi, this is Archibald Mudd. Buy my new book, Mud in Your Face, today and learn how to tell everyone from Starfleet to the Supreme Council where to get off. Learn to live at total peace and discover the true meaning of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness inside the United Federation of Planets. Order my book today or pick up a copy at a fine bookseller near you.
UFP weather. Temperatures were normal throughout the UFP today with nominal plasma flow activity. Storms are building in the Wolfs and a UFP travel advisory will be in place over the next week starting tomorrow. Barnard Star is pushing a front towards Sol that may cause traffic slowing on the up I and V. UFP Media covers the news next. Keeping you in the loop, UFP Media News. Are you tired of that funny twang in the food you eat because of old replicator technology? Consider a new Drexler Food Replicator. Endorsed by the Martha Stewart and Julia Childs Foundation, Drexler Food Replicators have been feeding planets in the UFP since the 22nd century and is the undisputed leader of all residential, commercial, and starship food replicators. Upgrade to tasty. Get a Drexler.
You're listening to the UFP Media Network. News, weather, hourly traffic reports, great music, and entertainment.
Welcome to the Stow Zone, people. This is Kaswan Nindra, and you are about to get stoned on the latest 2 weeks of Star Trek Online news. The top story for this show? The moment you all have been waiting for since 2004, or earlier, has arrived. Cryptic Studios is finally
Accepting closed beta applications for Star Trek Online, which likely means it's not too far away. On the Star Trek Online website, Nicole Hamlet, a.k.a. Awen, posted, "As we proceed with testing the game, we're relying on you, our fans, to help us work out kinks, squash bugs, and create the best Star Trek experience we can. To apply for the beta, please fill out our web form at www.startrekonline.com and answer the questions provided. We'll randomly select from that group as we ramp up towards open beta. We're very happy to have all of you with us as we take this bold step forward. We can't wait to see you in-game. Excited, folks? So are we, and we can't wait to start playing. Of course, the only sad thing here is that with the first stage being a closed beta, no one who actually plays will be able to talk to the wider community about what they experience. But for those lucky folks who are in, viva la Star Trek, baby! Moving on, did you catch the video interview we did this weekend with Cryptic Studios at the Penny Arcade Expo in downtown Seattle? If not, then head on over to our website now and check it out, folks. And I mean, right now. Go ahead and pause me. Okay, so the interview contained a ton of juicy information delivered in true Hailing Frequency style. And we will, of course, go into some of this later on in the show. In addition, we also provided full coverage of the Star Trek Online booth, including our thoughts on the very first public play test of Champions. So check out all of our PAX coverage at hailingfrequency.com/penny-arcade-2009. So, what else has been going on these last couple of weeks? Well, at least three websites have posted after coverage of Star Trek Online from the GamesCon convention in Germany a couple of weeks ago, including Zam.com, who gave us the first clear look at the Star Trek Online user interface. This, of course, was partially revealed a couple of weeks ago in a tweet from the con, but now we get to see the whole thing, and I have to say, it looks really yummy. Thanks, Zam! The media focus for Star Trek Online over the past 5 weeks has, of course, been combat, but that focus is drawn to an end now as we move on to other things. But Cryptic did give folks an opportunity to get in their final questions on combat with an Ask Cryptic on September 2nd. We found out some interview information about cover mechanics, weapons cooldowns, attack patterns, and more. Check it out at startrekonline.com/node/363. And a couple of final bits. On August 26th, we got a new wallpaper featuring the mean-looking Defiant class, and on the 28th, we just got our new Friday screenshot, which appears to take place on a starbase with some kind of advanced holographic refit system. This concludes the Star Trek gaming news for this edition of Hailing Frequency. This has been Case Wanindra, and until next time, I hand you back over to Zach, Nova, and Kineas. Take care now.
Okay, folks, we are now going to go over to that interview with Craig Zinkovich. It was recorded this past Friday at Seattle PAX by Tam Gross at 1 p.m. I do apologize, folks, I haven't had time to check the levels yet, but it should come through just fine. So here we go.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Sword. Tam Gross is my handle. We're here right outside of PAX, just in a grill across the street. I'm here with Craig Zinkovich on behalf of Hailing Frequency and All That Insider. I'd like to just welcome you, you know, to PAX, to Seattle. I just moved here as well, so getting used to the town. Thank you for, like, you know, being with this interview. I'm really, like, Hailing Frequency has done several interviews with you thus far, and is really just appreciates everything you've done for Hailing Frequency and what they're trying to do with the
Community. I really like what you guys have done with the community. It's invaluable. It's great.
Yeah. I believe it's one of the longest running podcasts of Star Trek and Star Trek.
Oh, cool.
Star Trek Gaming. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, might as well just jump into questions.
Sweet.
Because, you know, I have a lot of questions. Okay. In this one of your Ship of the Line articles, there was a Ship of the Line that had, you know, 16 phasers, arrays, and 8 torpedo launchers. So when I was playing, I was glad to see that there's an auto-fire feature.
Yep.
You know, you can kind of manage that, because I wouldn't want to micro each one of those 16 phasers. And I was just wondering if there was kind of like a timing aspect where you could literally be like, fire everything, like Neo, you know, or if it was more like one and go to like just for basic phases.
Depending on what sort of ship you have, some of the ships have a lot more energy capacity. Like you take out a Galaxy class ship, it's going to be able to, you know, fire off the 8 phaser banks. Not constantly, yeah, but it's going to be able to get that, you know, fire all my phasers, sort of really knocking down the enemy's shield, you know, and then they're going to have to recharge back up again. But, I mean, you take out an Olympic class ship and you expect to, like, outfit it with 4 or 5 phasers, you're just not going to be able to fire them all off at once. So depending on, you know, what phasers you end up slotting, how much energy they end up using, and what the ship's capacity is, you'll be able to pull it off sometimes.
So when you run out of power, does your shield start going down? You start moving less? Or is it just weapons?
It's just weapon. It ends up just the amount of energy that you have diverted to your weapon systems.
Oh, okay.
That kind of drains. If you end up putting everything over there and you're in the Galaxy class ship, maybe you can get off a couple of those big, huge volleys. But otherwise, you're going to have to manage what you're going to do.
And then it'll be exposed in the other areas because you won't
exactly
have.
Exactly. So your shields are going to go down. You're going to be moving
definitely
slower.
Definitely found that out.
Yep.
Yep. Bird of Prey, I really looked at my rear shields there for a while. Okay, so when you jump into the game, so you're like, just cruising around in your sector map. Where are all those blue tubes of roads that we've seen in those? Like, there's a grid view, and then there's the blue.
The blue lanes, the roads, are really, they're there to connect points of interest. They're purely cosmetic right now, but really provide kind of a map. It gives you an idea of where to go, what's connected, where's the next place to head to. So we thought about at times making them actually affect the gameplay, but we decided that it was better just to keep them kind of cosmetic and show what the map is.
Okay. So they will show you kind of, if you want to go from one sector to the other, you like that'll kind of show you a path to get to there, or...
Sure, if you want to go from one sector, thank you very much, one sector to another, you can just like go to the edge of the sector and warp over. It really is the kind of, you know, it shows you the way from Earth to Vulcan, right? It shows you the way from system to system.
Will there be any times that we're in sector space that, you know, something will just randomly occur and we'll be pulled out of warp, or, you know, will someone on our bridge officers will say this and we'll just drop out of warp, or...
Yeah, these definitely times...
warp engines go down.
Flying in sector space, you're going to get hails from ships who are in trouble. You're going to see... I mean, you're at war with the Klingons, right? There are going to be Klingons flying around that are like, oh my god, there's a whole attack fleet over there. Let's go over there. When a big, huge event happens, you know, the Borg invade, they're going to show up on sector space too.
What,
so that's
players?
Really where you see the thing.
What other players? Will they show up on sector?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's really where you see... it is one of the persistent places when you're in that astrometric sector space view where you'll see other players flying around, see other players doing the same thing, see somebody who is like, oh my god, they just got jumped by, you know, a couple of Vorcha cruisers, let's go in and help them. So you definitely see that stuff on the sector level.
Yeah, after playing the demo, I'm really looking forward to moving around and doing a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see. Okay, we have seen some examples of combat in past episodes. Yeah, could you give us an example of an exploration episode or a more diplomatic non-combat?
We're going to talk a little bit more about the non-combat episode stuff a little bit later in the PR cycle, but really there's so much to do in the Star Trek universe. I mean, you have diplomacy, you have trade where, you know, certain colonies are going to need certain goods. You have part like going out and scanning anomalies, taking samples off of alien artifacts.
Okay.
All that stuff's going to be in there. We're just going to talk details later.
I think you mentioned Memory Alpha in the Gamescom. Is that something that you can just talk about a little bit?
Memory Alpha will be in the game. It's kind of the hub for some of these activities. But again, we'll talk about more about that later.
Okay.
Yeah, you can keep trying. You keep trying. I gotta stop.
Can we access? Okay. let's see. Okay, your faction. So with your faction, you've talked about territory control, maybe some sort of resource, and the faction versus faction element. Will this change over time? Will there be areas that kind of have an ebb and flow of control? Is it persistent? Just basically those kind of aspects.
We want to make sure that the PvP game, the faction versus faction game, does definitely have an effect on the world, and you do have a sense of control, and it moves back and forth who is actually winning at that time.
Okay.
Again, details is something that PR people just won't let me talk about right now.
I've met Deborah. She's tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She seems nice.
Yeah, she seems nice.
No, she's wonderful.
No, she's really nice.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that she hooked us up for us. Let's see. Sorry. There's a lot of text here. Oh, yeah. Okay, so spatial anomalies, black holes, a lot of things have been happening in the sci-fi world recently. Are there going to be any things that you try to use that aren't originally in Star Trek that you're going to try to put into, see if you can explore them further? String theory, anything to do with...
There's a lot of stuff in the storylines that take from the universe, take from things that exist. Really, primarily, we want to make it a universe that feels familiar, and so to the Star Trek fan, and so taking a lot of what exists, you know, the anomalies that you heard of, the particle types that you've heard of, making sure that that stuff is in the game. But I know that we also have added to that, and kind of, you know, you got to make up some stuff to put into a game.
Put your own technology.
Exactly.
In there.
Exactly.
Okay. What about Scotty, like crafting? Is there going to be any sort of tweaking Scotty crafting? Like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, I want my engines to do this, but this worse, or any sort of tweaking going on?
There are definitely crafting-like activities in the game. Again, that's something that we're kind of holding on to. I mean, we just let you play the game for the first time, hands-on.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay, so you're going to be open to a lot of those? Okay.
What did you think?
It was great. Okay. The first thing I saw just looking at the UI is that you guys, minimal stuff, but definitely informative, but then a lot of stuff is on screen. So, like, if I want to explore what this is, then you can see it on screen, what it is. You know, your shield is displayed on screen. Is that something that you guys want to do for most of the aspects of gameplay, is to have on screen kind of like a sensor view of...
Yeah, you never want to get to the point where you design a game that the players end up always looking at the mini-map and always looking at the power tray and always looking at information that's not these beautiful, beautiful graphics that the artists have made. Anytime that you can actually get that information into the game, you know, the shield indicator is one instance, you know, buffs and debuffs being displayed off of the characters. Anytime that you can get it in the world, and it makes perfect sense with, you know, heads-up displays in the Star Trek universe, it just allows the player to get a lot more immersed in the game and not really watching the UI. So, yeah.
What about customization of the UI? Are we going to be? I saw in Las Vegas, you kind of moved some of the things around.
You can definitely move those things around. There's a lot of different levels to many of the UIs, to the point where the power level UI is a really good example. There's a minimalistic version that just kind of has the fast presets on it, but then you can actually expand it to a really complex version and actually change each of the power levels as a slider.
Okay.
So not only customizing the UI by moving it around, but really kind of how much you care about the UI.
What about, I'm somebody who really cares about this, multi-monitor support, or just different resolutions at least.
There's definitely different resolutions. Currently, I think the client does only display on one monitor.
I'm thinking about buying something like this. Microsoft sells an app, you can Windows treat two monitors as one.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, so that's why I asked the resolution thing. Yes, I actually figured this out when I was playing, but this next question, I saw that there's presets tagged. attack, defense. Will there be customization of that kind of
fully programmable? If you go back to the booth and blow it out all the way, you end up setting it and you save it off as your own presets and name them. Those are just kind of quick ones, default ones that we put in.
Can you do that for shield facings too? Like if you are
shield facing, we want you to actually care about that and actually manage that as kind of a moment to moment thing in combat. Yeah. So in terms of putting on AI and just saying, make sure my shields never go down.
Okay.
We want that to be part of the game.
What about other macros with, anything? Any macros in general?
The system does have macros in where you can end up macroing powers together, but we haven't figured out to what extent we're going to expose that to the players yet.
Okay.
At some point in time, you can expose macros to the sense where, the hardcore guy is going to end up macroing everything down to a push button. And when it comes down to it, it's like, that's a great amount of freedom, but then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And we do want to make a game that's fun. So.
I know people who have macroed hours of their gameplay.
Yes.
Okay. I saw the last PC Gamer article, and they had some great concept art. It looked to me concept art of three, like the tactical, science, and an engineering officer.
Sure, sure.
And they were kind of decked out and kind of like very trekky tricorders and different hypo sprays and different things like that. Are those purely concept art, or are we going to be getting those on our characters?
Those are all based on the kit that you have.
Okay.
And so based on the kit, the career restricted item that kind of gives you those powers on the ground that really cool things, those are going to end up displaying different things on your kit. So you get kind of that tactical kit that's really has all those stealth powers, and you get like real cool stealth armor on top.
Oh, nice.
Really awesome stuff.
So that's part of the progression aspect.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Klingons.
Yes.
Okay, so you've mentioned, to my knowledge, three things. You've mentioned battlegrounds, you've mentioned battleground with the Romulans, you've mentioned house versus house, PvP, and you've mentioned something else, I forget. But anyway, so I was just wondering, because we see a lot more episodic missions with Star Trek, and with the Federation part side, I was wondering if there would be anything like where like the Klingon side was a lot more of the battleground type aspect, a lot more of the PvP, a lot more of the combat type stuff, and the Federation was more about the missions.
The Klingon gameplay is definitely different than Starfleet. The advancement's going to be different, and the concept that you do, there is a lot more PvP to the Klingon side. Again, that is something that in a couple of months we're really going to be focusing on that. But you're heading in the right direction.
Okay, what is the difference between creating your own custom race for either side and creating one of the iconic races? So if I wanted to create a Vulcan, what would that give me as opposed to creating something that wasn't a Vulcan or, just with some random thing? Like how would those differ?
It differs almost only in name when it comes right down to it. We want to make sure that players customize an alien species, can really kind of make whatever they want, can make a Klingon who has attributes who maybe aren't Klingon-like.
Yeah.
And because we found that when we give players those freedom, they really come up with ideas and stories and backplots and be able to role play things that we could never think of. So when you create a Vulcan, you just like, look, I'm Vulcan. I'm a Vulcan species. I'm going to have one of these abilities. When you create your own species, though, you can pretty much pick from any of the attributes that exist and make your character look whatever you want it to be. But you won't be able to actually say, okay, this blue guy who, knows martial arts really, really well, I'm going to name him Vulcan.
Yeah.
That's really the thing that you can't control.
Oh, so it's more of a protection of the race.
Exactly.
Of this.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so the new movie's out. It's gotten really great reviews around the world, and it's really had, I think, the widespread appeal is something that is something that you guys must be thrilled about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As gaming. And is there anything that you've put into game to try to get more widespread appeal, to get maybe not so typical gamers or not so typical Trek fans? Also,
I mean, at its core, our game is a Star Trek MMO,
okay.
And that's there's our market right there. It's like we want to make a really, really exciting MMO that people can play and really, really enjoy and be there for a very long time, and it's got to be in the Star Trek universe. I don't think there's anything we're dumbing down or changing up to really go after people outside of that market. I mean, hopefully gamers will give it a try because of how popular Star Trek is, but really we're kind of focusing on those two markets.
Player-made content. So, City of Heroes, which you guys used to own, has a mission architect system now. It's getting a lot of publicity for various reasons. And then Champions Online has the Nemesis program where you get to actually create the look, the feel of your Nemesis. Is STO going to take any of that?
There may be user-generated content in STO's future. We don't expect to have anything at launch, but I mean, the amount of fiction that how hardcore the fans are. I mean, it's definitely, definitely right for that.
Yeah, and it's in the engine, obviously.
Okay.
Champions Online has been promoting this special event coming up pretty soon about zombies.
Yeah, sure.
Coming in. Yeah. Yep. And if you fall into a pit, you turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
Which a lot of us Star Trek fans think, that sounds a lot like Borg being assimilated. Is there anything going to be, you know, like where you have a special event with a Borg, and if you get killed by a Borg, maybe you're assimilated?
There's nothing technically keeping us from doing that. That sounds like
you haven't planned 7 months out yet, or 8 months
I can't reveal all of the events that we have planned right
now. Have some events.
Oh yeah, there's definitely some stuff planned. You got to start well before launch. You kind of have to figure out what the arc is, what you're going to end up doing.
Nice.
Give yourself a lot of time to react to what the players want and what they really see within the game, but also, you know, you kind of have to have a plan, if only to break it based on how the game does at launch.
Are you going to have some that are kind of annual events or just kind of one-time things, and what's the frequency that we can see in events?
I mean, you want to have events that happen during the game occasionally. I mean, Borg invading, you know,
like totally randomly?
Those sort of things. Totally randomly.
Totally.
Or reoccurring events, or even, I mean, you got to have it's a community, right? It's an MMO, it's a community. You got to do things around certain times a year. You got to do events around holidays and stuff like that. So all that stuff will end up happening too.
Okay, so awesome. Okay, I've been envisioning, because I think there's a race that happens in Millennium City every once in a while, where you actually just fly around the city and you're timed. Is there anything going to be like that in STO, where it's like full power to impulse engines race around this nebula?
We don't have any races in the game right now, but there's nothing keeping us from adding that sort
just
of concept.
Just an idea.
Let me write that one down.
I'll text it to you.
Oh, thank you.
If I had your number.
I don't know if you're going to get my number.
Okay. That was not me asking. I want to be that weird dude. Okay. Okay, so I've been having this scenario in my mind about Star Trek Online, and I'm sure everybody does, but I was thinking eventually maybe if you had a few new factions, I would be, you know, maybe a Romulan, you would be a Fed, E-Man is so kindly holding the camera would be a Klingon, purely.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe somebody over there eating dinner is a Cardassian, somebody else is a Dominion. Are you ever thinking about a scenario where, like, maybe I get a certain mission, you get a certain one, and we all converge, and we all have different missions, some of them kind of help each other at certain points, some would be against each other, and then you come in and you have to, like, figure it out on the fly. You'll be hailing them, you'll be trying to figure out what they're doing, anything like that in the
STO's future? There's nothing keeping us from doing that sort of content. I think once we get, you know, let's get two factions in, see how that works, then throw the other ones in. I think that's me. Thank you very much.
Zink likes grilled cheese.
Who does here?
And french fries.
Oh, he stands up. Awesome. All right.
For a little bit. He gets sleepy.
Yeah. All
right. Is there anything else I can get you guys?
No, I think this is great. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Everything will be off the record from...
Okay, folks. That was our... video Star Trek Online interview with Craig Zinkovich at Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle. It was recorded on Friday. If you would like a download of that, look out for it around Tuesday time. We are going to go straight over to Chiron's Corner, episode number 2 now. And then when we return, we will likely start winding down this show. So stay tuned, folks. Bear with us.
Thank you. hello again, all you Star Trek fans. This is Commodore Chiton Chiron, and you are now a part of Chiron Corner. Welcome back. I wanted to say thank you to everybody that gave such positive feedback for last week's show. We had a lot of good, constructive arguing going on back and forth. And I was trolling the boards trying to find a good topic for this week, trying to find something that's been a big topic of conversation lately. But unfortunately, the boards have been kind of quiet lately. So it's been kind of tough trying to find something that would, you know, rouse people's interest. But I think I found one. A couple of weeks ago, there was a few pictures that were put on the Hailing Frequency website that were covers of a magazine called PC Gamer. And those pictures had, I believe there was a picture of a Vulcan female, and I think another one was a Klingon. I can't be sure. But they were pictures of female Star Trek characters with, they were in uniform, and they had kind of a low-cut top with, you know, ample bosoms and such. I'm going to try to keep it as PG-rated as I can here. But there was a lot of outrage from the community on these pictures. I'd seen a lot of posts from people saying that, you know, has Star Trek fallen to the lowest common denominator? Have they, jumped the shark, as it were? Is this just a blatant attempt to try to get people to, you know, be interested in Star Trek Online and whatnot? I had a problem, you know, with it on a very superficial level, because it made Star Trek look very, I don't know, immature, childish, you know, on the surface. But once I thought about it, I began to realize, you know, wait a minute. You know, sex has been a part of Star Trek since day one, all the way back, during the cage when Captain Pike was sitting there watching the sultry Orion slave girl dance around to Captain Kirk with his shirt off every 5 minutes, to all of the different exotic alien women with gravity-defying dresses on. Then you have, I'd say Next Generation was relatively, you know, clean insofar as, you know, quote-unquote TNA is concerned. You know, I didn't really see much of that. But you could see it in Deep Space Nine, you could see it in Voyager, Enterprise, from Quark's Dabo girls to Paul and Tucker and everybody slathering gel on each other in Decon, to Seven in various, extremely tight outfits. So it made me think, you know, wait a minute, aren't we going a little overboard here? Are we being a little bit too Puritan in our reactions to this? I'm like many of you. I don't want Star Trek to become too commercialized, too cheesy. Maybe commercialized isn't the right word, but it makes it look bad. I think some people had a problem with it. It just didn't make it look like the Star Trek that we all knew and grew up with. And I gotta say, folks, in a lot of ways, we need to lighten up. We really do. I can see from a female point of view how they're kind of tired of being objectified by Star Trek, or just by those pictures, you know, in and of themselves. That I can understand that, you know. There's no way I could completely understand. But, you know, even then, you know, even so, you still had those elements of female, sexuality or male sexuality that, you know, made females attracted to the show. You could have Scott Bakula or, God, I can't remember the guy's name. Tucker, Tripp. Then you got Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and, you know, all of those characters and all of those very romanticized episodes that it really just kind of makes me want to take a step back and go, you know, let's lighten up, okay? Let's not go overboard in our criticism. Yeah, it was a little bit cheesecake and, you know, hopefully it won't be an overriding feature when Star Trek Online comes out, but I really think we need to, you know, just calm down a little bit. There was another topic I wanted to bring up. There was a issue that I had seen that I have a personal problem with, that Cryptic Studios, and I don't want to bite that hand that feeds us, folks, but I got to call a spade a spade. I have a problem with Cryptic
offering beta keys to people who buy lifetime subscriptions to Champions Online. That, to me, is just... Oh, Lord. That's... Look, I don't have a problem with Champions Online as a game. I'm just not a big fan of the superhero MMOs. I tried City of Heroes, City of Villains. It was a cute diversion, but I really wasn't all that interested in it. Champions Online as well really doesn't overridingly interest me. But I so want that beta key. Oh, Lord. I don't want to embarrass myself by saying how far I would go to try to get one, but it really rankled me that Cryptic would force people to pay through the nose for a product that, let's face it, folks, is not proven. Okay, whether it's great or not, I don't know that. But I have a hard time with paying not only the fee for the game itself, but the lifetime subscription to it, only to get a beta key for a game that I'm still waiting to come out. So, and I probably wouldn't play, you know, Champions all that much, and it bothers me. But at the same time, I can almost understand it. You know, from a strictly business point of view, I can see that, because you have Star Trek Online, which is so wanted by the community in general, but you know, they have to try to sell Champions Online. So I would grudgingly tell people that if you're really, really ready to just, I don't know, kill your own mother for a beta key, you know, go ahead and do it. I personally, as much as I want a beta key, I'm just not going to do it, because I don't want yet another MMO collecting dust on my shelf that I'm never going to play. And I don't want to shell out the $60 or so for it. So, Cryptic, if I were you, I'd come up with new and innovative ways to try to give beta keys out to the people who really, really want them, and not try to hawk a game that your fans just may not want, because it just smacks of over-commercialism, and it looks bad, I think. I'm sure there's a lot of people who disagree with me, and, you know, maybe this will cause me to be number one on Cryptic's hit list, but I'm sorry, I have to call it as I see it. And as I see it, I think it's a little too shameless. I really think they should back off on that. Well, I'm going to kind of cut this... I'm going to cut this segment short for the week. So if you have any questions, comments, if anybody wants to join me perhaps in the future for, you know, a debate on these topics, or perhaps to... you know, give me a topic of your own that you'd like to hear on this segment of the Hailing Frequency podcast, please email me, and we'll try to get going as soon as we can. So, thank you for listening, and you have been a part of Chiron's Corner.
Hello, 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 everybody, and we are back. Wow, that was a lot of stuff there. The interview, Chiron's Corner. Nova, Athos, Caneus, are you still there? Or have you...
That was a lot of interesting information.
Indeed. Yeah, good stuff, I'm here. Great stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so just to address one little point there on Jital's segment, he said the word force. Cryptica forcing people to buy Champions Online in order to get a beta key for Star Trek Online, but I don't really see that Cryptica forcing you to do anything. I mean, it's not like they're holding a knife to your neck saying you gotta buy a Champions Online lifetime subscription and play the Star Trek Online beta. I mean, they're not saying that, you know. I see it as kind of like, you know, if you like Champions Online, if you kind of want to play it, if you want to commit to playing to Champions Online, if you like it, then as a reward, we're going to give you access to this other game that we're doing. So that's just my two cents on that. I don't know how many people agree with Chiron's standing viewpoint. I don't know, but that's just what I think about it. What did you think of that interview, Kinnear? That was your first time hearing it.
A lot of good stuff there. It was neat to hear that Memory Alpha is going to be in there.
Yeah.
The thing that's coming up a lot while listening to that in the chat room swayed over to what we're seeing in the demos as far as combat. Where's the tactics? And it's being brought up that, well, these are new players, people playing it for the first time, and they're probably starting out with bridge officers that don't have any capabilities either. So we're not really seeing, you know, what kind of tactics you can have. So
yes.
the call and the shout-out out there right now is, we'd like to see expert footage. We would like to see demos of an expert playing it with bridge officers who are all expert. We'd like to see some real tactical gameplay.
Indeed, yes.
It's driving a lot of people mad. They're like, where's the tactics? This doesn't look very tactical. This is just flying in and doing nothing. So I think that'd be a good video for them to try to produce over the next couple of weeks is really, really show us
what
a ship can do.
Yeah. On that note, I mean, we've run well over 2 hours already, so this is one of our longest shows for quite some time. I think it's time to bring it to an end. We've got a ton more Star Trek Online stuff still to come this weekend. Over the week, we've got the new gameplay trailer that should be getting released on the Star Trek Online website this coming Tuesday, I believe. And then who knows what's going to be coming after that. Like we said, hopefully I'm optimistic for beta not too far away from now. So we will see. Was there anything else that we really need to bring up in this show, guys?
If you haven't caught any of the PAX footage and you want to catch what's going on at PAX, they did the Stowe interview yesterday. Zach, you said you have that video now?
Yes.
Are you going to put that up?
Is that up somewhere? I will see about putting it up. Yeah, I need to check if there's any kind of legal issues involved with that.
All right. If you want to also catch what's going on at PAX today, head on over to ufragtv.com and you can watch live coverage from PAX.
Okay, then. All right, then. On that note, just the standard stuff. We've got the audience survey going on at the moment that we need as many people as possible to fill out and complete. That's just to get some demographic information for various things. So if you have...
I want to thank everybody who's already done that. There's been a tremendous amount of feedback. It's all been great. Thank you very much.
So if you have got time to do that, please head to survey.hailingfrequency.com. Also, donations. We've had a significant amount of donations over the past few weeks in response to the urgent kind of post that I put out saying that we needed them. But obviously, you know, I would like to emphasize that, over an ongoing period that we do continue to require donations, and that, you know, if things kind of dry up again on that front, then, you know, a month or two from now, we're just going to end up in the same situation that we was, you know, where we're having to mail out and, you know, basically beg. So, you know, bear that in mind, folks. Hopefully you won't let it come to that.
Keep trying to come to the site every day. If you don't come to the site every day, you could really just help us out by doing that. We're definitely trying to continue to get sponsors for the site and get better and better advertising, get some really good game advertisements up there. So you just coming to the site and stopping by every day would really help drive the numbers up a little bit to where we might be a little more palatable for some advertisers out there. So if you can't help with money, that'd be a great way to help. I'm trying to make it fun for you by putting up cartoons every couple of days, giving you something new to look at. But there's always some new news up there. But keep coming by and get everybody to come by at least once a day.
Yeah, actually, that's actually something that I wanted to mention because obviously a few years ago you were running stoned on a regular basis over at StarTrekOnline.net, and now you've kind of started doing the new one panel one that you see on HailingFrequency.com, which is stories. So I mean, that's a very, you know, that's if you like Star Trek Online and if you're active in the community, then that's quite a funny little cartoon. We put a new one up every 2 or 3 days, and you know, there's always new news going up on the Hailing Frequency site. So we really are the place to be for any Star Trek gaming related news. Okay then, on that note, folks, we're going to wrap up this show. Thank you very much for listening to us today. I am Zach, and you have been listening to episode number 70 of Hailing Frequency, which, on a side note, is our 100th production since 2005. So 70 episodes, 30 specials over the years, that's 100 episodes for us now. If we were on a network, we would be in syndication right now. Yay! So, as I said, I have been Zach. You have been listening to Hailing Frequency. Until next time, goodbye, and keep an eye on Hailing Frequency, folks.
Well, I got to head back down to engineering and see what kind of mess those nitwits down there made. So I'll see everybody later, and thank you very much for listening in today.
Goodbye.
See you, folks. Bye-bye.